61, a very familiar passage, and I've been chewing on this all week. And I just couldn't get it out of my head of what God's speaking for this year. And I really believe that he's setting this year up to be something spectacular for each and every one of the believers. Tell your neighbor, say, that's me.
That's me.
All right. Every one of the believers. This is what God's getting ready to do. So Isaiah 61, which you all know, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Tell your neighbor, say, it's upon you.
Upon you.
Right. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen? Right. And that who may be glorified? Right. So if we're gonna obey the scriptures, there's a reason that we're gonna obey the scripture, so that he's glorified. When we obey the scripture, God's glorified. When we disobey the scripture, God's not glorified through our lives. Can we agree?
Yeah.
Right. He said he'll be glorified when we what? When we obey his word, when we walk out his word. And he says there in verse 2, it says to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. I don't know what 2020 and 2021 brought into your life, but I want you to know 2022 for you. Tell your neighbor, say for you.
Yeah.
It's a favorable year. This is a favorable year for those that are in Christ Jesus. You're going to have to say that. You're going to have to agree with that, because that's what the scripture says, and you need to proclaim it.
Yes.
You're going to have to make a decision. Yeah, this is, because some, I guarantee you, I'll look up the camera. I guarantee you there's people in here that said, yeah, whatever. I guarantee people said, well, we'll see. Where is the faith in that thought process and that statement? And that's where the issue is. It's in the thoughts that we have that sometimes supersede the word of God. Right? This is what the word of God says. He said, look, I've anointed you. Tell your neighbor, say, check out my anointing. Right? You are anointed. Amen? You are anointed to what? Preach the good news. When we preach the good news, it gives God glory. What are we supposed to proclaim? The favorable year of the Lord. So this year is the year of the Lord, right? And it is his year, and our lives are to be spent building his kingdom the year that he has given us. And he said, if you're going to honor me, if I'm going to be glorified, I need you to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. So when you get up in the morning, hey, honey, this is the favorable year of the Lord this whole year. You see, maybe, I don't know what 2020 and 2021 brought, but I want you to know this year is going to be different for the house of God. And I'm not saying that because just this scripture, but I believe that in my heart that God is getting ready to do things through a lot more people. And I'm not saying tomorrow. I'm not saying future. You know, I'm expecting. I know that it starts today. I know it starts today when our minds start to stay on faith and our thoughts start to stay in line with the word of God. And that's always the key with each one of our lives. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay, Isaiah 49 and verse 8, it says, in the favorable time, I have answered you. Isn't that beautiful? This is the favorable time right now. What you prayed for, God's answering. What you cried out for, God's answering. In the favorable time, I have answered you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. How many have been helped through the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ? Right. And I will keep you. And I will give you for a covenant of the people to restore the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages. Listen, I don't know what your heritage is, but I know that God wants to redeem your whole family. He wants to redeem your whole heritage. Maybe it's been dry. Maybe it's been weak. Maybe there's been nothing going on in the things of God in your family. I want you to know he's going to redeem your old desolate heritage. Isn't that good news? That's what he said he's going to do. He said, this is my favorable year that I'm going to allow you to walk in. You're going to have to proclaim it. And then I'm going to give you and make you inherit the desolate heritages. I'm going to watch your aunts and uncles come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as you pray, as you cry out, as you lift them up before me. I'm going to allow you to see it happen before your very eyes. That's all we're allowed to preach. We preached a whole lot last year. Everyone in this room preached all year last year. Some preached more about COVID than they ever thought about Jesus Christ. How can we have both of those thoughts? One is going to dominate the other. Amen? Whatever we fill our minds with, it's going to dominate our thought process. And how much stuff have we fed into our mind and those thoughts have dominated instead of what God said? And we thought there's no favor coming because everybody's, the TV would tell us that division is coming in the house, in the whole United States of America. Not here. Amen. Division isn't coming in here. There's no schisms and divisions. Each one of us are the same in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't care about your history. I don't care about what you went through. We do care, but that is not the deciding factor in your life. The deciding factor is that Jesus Christ is Lord, and therefore we're all accepted in the beloved, that every one of us have been born into one race, the Adamic race. There's only one race, the Adamic race, and that's what we identify with, and that's it. And therefore, division doesn't come in the house of God. No schisms, no divisions. That's what they say, not here. Tell your neighbor, say, you're accepted here. Tell your other neighbor, we think you're pretty cool too. All right, pretty cool. All right, you're getting there. If you're here with us a while, you'll get cool. You'll be real cool. But that's the reality. There's no divisions here. Doesn't matter if you're young in Christ, old in Christ, whether you have a lot or have a little. It doesn't matter. Whether you have any family here, you don't have family here. You're accepted here and we love you. That's it. And now we just want to make sure that we're walking in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, one of the two thought processes, some of the seed that we're sowing into our mind is going to consume us. There's seed that's going to consume. There's seed that's going to grow up in our lives. There's seed that we're watering. Which seed are we watering for this year? Proclaiming the favorable year of the Lord? Or proclaiming, I don't know what I'm going to do. What are we going to proclaim? What is going to consume our thoughts? What is going to cause us to write down what God's speaking us to do and to give us liberty every single day of our lives? Psalm 27:4 says, one thing I have desired, right? So if we're going to, we're talking about proclaiming the favorable year of the Lord. Here's what it is. Number one, Psalm 27:4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. To inquire, to understand. Listen, there's only one word in the temple, and it's the living word, Jesus Christ. There's no other word that you're going to hear in the kingdom of God and in the temple of God. Prayerfully, you'll never hear anything else preached here except for the word of God. As long as we're here, that's all we'll ever preach. There's only one word. When we go into the temple of God, when you walk in and you get in the presence of God, you're only going to hear one word. It's never going to change. You're going to hear the life of Jesus Christ being spoken. You're going to hear the word that God written down over and over again. And it's going to be the words of life for everyone that believes. That's the only word you're going to hear. So he said, one thing I want to do, I want to be in there. I want to inquire in the temple. Here's a different translation. It says, here's the one thing I crave from Yahweh. The one thing I seek above all else. I want to live with him every moment in his house, beholding the marvelous beauty of Yahweh, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to contemplate in his temple. I want to think. When I'm with God, I want to think about him. I want to dream about what he's going to do through my life. When I'm with him, I just want to bring him glory and honor. He said, that's all I want to do. That's what David said. That's all I want to do, this one thing. Is there something else? Is there something else that's taken dominion that consumes our thoughts? And this is for all of us, for each and every one of us. Is there something else that has taken precedent in our lives that has consumed our thought process, that has superseded? Are there other seeds that we've been sowing in our lives, in our families, We sang that song about how God loves us. When you look in the mirror, he didn't say, if you love you, he said, I'm gonna love you. And sometimes that's the battle for people. They look in the mirror and then they deny the word of God, of what God has spoken because of what they see. David wanted to be in the house of God so he could see what God sees. He could see the very presence of God. He could be in the presence, and the only thoughts that he had are the thoughts in the temple of those that were spoken of long ago. You know, there's only one word in this temple, just one. And this has to be part of our doctrine, and your doctrine is very important. Because your doctrine is being preached in our houses. Each one of us are preaching the doctrine in our houses. Right? 2 Timothy 3:16. You want to throw that up there, Gav? And it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Just say that out loud. All scripture has been given by inspiration of God, right? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, right? So this doctrine that we have, because we're going to have to make a decision on agreeing with the word of God or agreeing with your situation, agreeing with the word of God or agreeing with what someone else said about you, agreeing with the word of God or going through another year doing the same thing that we did last year. And I don't want to do that. It sets the standard in our hearts, our houses, and it creates our worldview. Your worldview is established by your doctrine. Your doctrine is what you're standing on. Your doctrine is what you believe. Your doctrine is saying, this is what is going to be our core values. Jesus Christ is Lord. His blood is enough to wash away all of our sins. We are free indeed. See, when we're free, we can worship him. That's easy, isn't it? When we're free, when we don't believe that we have to earn the right any longer to come and speak to him or to pray, prayer gets a whole lot easier, doesn't it? When we don't feel like it's something, oh, here we go again, I have to go pray, otherwise I won't be accepted. You're already accepted. You're already loved. He loved you and he loved me when we were filthy, rotten sinners, amen? Even in the darkness, he came and sought us out and said, I love you. So there's a great freedom that it brings into each one of our lives. The instruction there in that same verse in verse 16, it says it's good for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that instruction, it's three Greek words put together, but it actually means that when either you get off base, it brings you back online, or even when you fall, it brings you back and it straightens you up. You see, God's instruction, his word, straightens us up again. And I don't know about you, but maybe last year, maybe you were looking at other stuff and reading a whole bunch of other stuff and not taking time in the word of God. And God's word is good for instruction. He's saying, look, I want you to get back into my word. I want to straighten things up. I don't want you talking like you did last year. I don't want you giving yourself to stuff like you did last year. I want you to give it to that which is going to transform people's lives. I want you to speak in such a way that hearts look at you and say, where did that come from? I want to know what you know. Why is it that there's joy in your life? Why is it that you have peace? Why is it that you and your wife, after 34 years, still walk hand in hand? How is that possible? Because that's what the world notices. That's what they see, small acts of love. When we walk according to his word and allow that instruction, it doesn't matter how long. Maybe maybe it was a whole year of walking wrong. I want you to know this is going to be a whole year you can walk right. Yes. That last year is done. It's closed out. It's finished. Amen? This year is a brand new year that God is preparing for each and every one of us. And he said, I want you to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord over your life first. Over your life, over your marriage, over every one of your children, over the people that you work with that you've been praying for. Jolene, God gave me a word. We were in worship, and I forgot to give it to you. And that anointing to teach is all over you. When we were sitting there, and I was worshiping, and I looked over, and I was like, my goodness, and it's stronger than your mother's anointing to teach. And she taught a lot of women. And God said, I want to break that loose in you, and I'm going to send women to you this year. Will you give them your time to teach them? And that was the only question he asked. He said, that you have to answer. I don't. But he said he's anointed you to teach the word of God in a mighty way, where many women will come and listen to the words that you have to speak. And not only will they be set free, but their families and many around them will be set free because of the gift that he has given you. And he said that gift is without repentance. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He said it's without repentance. And I need you to take my word and transform every area of the lives of the people that are coming near you. Sorry, I was disobedient earlier, and I meant to walk over and give it to you. I think it's better we did it now. Apparently, that's what he wanted. This has got to be a year where his word is above ours. That's because, you know, sometimes we get distracted. We're in the time of prayer and fasting, right? And some of these don't come out except by what? Prayer and fasting. We've read that many times. And I just want to look at Mark. We want to sort of change gears. It's a favorable year of the Lord this year. And it's favorably in faith. It's favorably in faith. And that was in the title of the sermon today. Favorably in faith. See, faith has got to be the key. And if we read Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29, it says, when they came back, to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, some scribes arguing with them. Immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, what are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground and foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it. And he answered them, and he said, oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? If that's in your scripture, if that's in your Bible that you're reading, underline it, highlight it, okay? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. They brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into convulsions, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, it is often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible to him that believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help me in my unbelief. Tell your neighbor, say, I do believe, help me in my unbelief. When Jesus saw the crowd, was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you to come out of him and do not enter him again. After crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him and he got up. And when he came into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately, why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Now, the NASB only says prayer. Some of the other ones say prayer and fasting. Some of the older manuscripts don't have fasting in there. And so, as we look at the scriptures, many of the old manuscripts, the ones that they looked at, they don't have fasting in there. Because the issue that Jesus was looking at, as we look back to verse 19, he says, oh, unbelieving generation. Oh, unbelieving generation. So he's not dealing, we know that there's rulers and principalities and powers. We know that there's different levels of spirits, right? In the realm, in the heavenly realms, that they have authority, the demonic powers. We understand that. But Jesus isn't differentiating here between the different demonic powers. What he's differentiating here is between faith and a lack of. Right? Because here we have the disciples. Now, not long before this, he sent out the 70, right? Number one to 12, they were going, praying for people and healing the sick. And then he took another 70 with him. So 82 of them went out. How did they go out? Two by two, right? And they did everything that Jesus did. And they came back and they were excited. And they said, hey, listen, it's incredible. Even the demons obey us. And Jesus said, well, don't get over excited about that. But be excited that your name is what? Written in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? Be excited that you're a child of God and that God has allowed you to walk with that kind of power that, yeah, these demons, these low-level demons and stuff, these things that have already been defeated and destroyed, yep, you have authority over them. But that's a minor part of it. Here's the greater part. I want you to walk with me so close. I want you to have such a beautiful relationship with me. Remember that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and all of the benefits that that brings so that you'll walk and proclaim a year of favor over your life. Right? This is what he is saying. And then he goes on. How long will I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? And that's one of the thoughts that I was chewing on was, my goodness, Lord, I ask you to forgive me because I've been pastoring here for 23 years and I still need help in my unbelief. I don't know about you, but I need help in my unbelief. And I'm so thankful that he's a God that's long-suffering. Right? So he's not dealing, he said, he didn't say that you could drive these demons out when you pray and when you pray and fast. Fasting isn't twisting God's arm, and we've said that many times. This prayer and fasting is about getting an understanding and walking in faith in a greater measure. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us walking in a greater measure. What is that? Where does that greater measure come from? It comes from agreeing with his word rather than the thoughts in your head. You know, as we look back in verse 20, it says, immediately the spirit threw him into convulsions, falling on the ground, and began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. I wonder, because now here we have, these guys have already come back from watching the healing and the deliverances happen, right? They've already come back. So they've already seen it manifested. They've already done it. Now they come back and they see this boy thrown to the ground, foaming at the mouth, having convulsions. I wonder sometimes, is what we see distracting us from what he's called us to do? Is what we see, or does what we see stop us from acting in faith? Because maybe it's bigger than what we've seen happen before. Maybe they didn't see anybody convulsing and foaming at the mouth. Maybe they got distracted by looking at that and said, okay, it doesn't say that, I'm only suggesting. But how many times in our life, if you see somebody that's hurting, maybe in a wheelchair, yeah. Well, if you had a cold, I'll pray for that because I'm pretty good with colds. But wheelchair. See, the issue isn't the wheelchair. The issue isn't what you see. The issue is that, once again, our natural man comes in and it says, I'm not there yet. Isn't that what it says? Right? I haven't seen that yet. I haven't experienced that yet. So I'm going to draw back a little bit. The beautiful part about God, where did the disciples learn how to pray for the sick and cast them out? Did they go to Bible college? Did they have 72 points on how to heal and deliver? Did they have 17 weeks on the different categories of demons that are roaming through the atmosphere? How did they learn? They watched him, and that was it. Then they did what he did. And that was it. So it wasn't based on their intelligence. Sometimes our intellect gets in the way of our faith. Sometimes that intellect gets in the way of our faith. So what happens is we put faith in who we are and what we have seen and what we have done rather than the power of what he said his word would do. Because the only thing we have to do is proclaim what his word says. And that's what they did, right? In the name of Jesus, be healed. And that's what they did. That's what Jesus told them to do. Anything you ask in my name, I'll do. Right? So the pressure, tell your neighbor, say, the pressure's off of you. So many times we think it's on us. Okay, I got to read some more. I got to pray some more. I got to fast. I've never fasted in my life. I hate fasting. Who doesn't hate fasting? I hate it. But I know the benefits that I receive from it and the way that it's completely changed my life, the ministry, my family. Everything's been changed by the goodness of God. So this is a time and a season and a year. If we're going to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, it's not going to be based on your actions because you're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to stumble. And if you start stumbling and you're the qualifying factor, your whole year is a wash. Because we're right back to the beginning of last year. Oh, whatever, I'll just walk through this year. But if our faith and our trust is in the word of the Lord, Wait a minute, God, you said, Ronald, can you pray for the sick and they get healed? All right, just making sure you're agreeing with me. I told you he's easy to get along with. Yeah, why can Ronald say yes? Because it has nothing to do with Ronald. It has everything to do with the power of God's word. Right? So the power isn't in you. When we were trained back in the late 80s and early 90s, everybody that came through the church, I mean, if you were going to pray for somebody, come out in the name of Jesus. I mean, you had to scream, you had to yell, you had to jump up and down, you had to slam, pound your fist, because everybody knows that demons are half deaf. But this is what we did. This is what we were trained in. But I've come to realize it's not about me. It's about him. It's not about what I said. It's about what he said. It's not about my word. It's about proclaiming his word. Amen. And then putting our faith and our trust in his word. Hey, sometimes when I pray, I still get loud. That's the training. Huh? I'm just loud. Thank you. I can't help it. That's an inherited trait. If you know my mother. But I really believe that this year, God's bringing us into a place where when we look at the word of God, if he says, just go lay your hands on them, just go do it. He's only looking for an act of obedience and then saying, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Or in the name of Jesus, God wants you to give your life to him. In the name of Jesus, he sees your broken heart. Come and follow me as I follow Christ. Come over to my house. We'll just have a cup of coffee. Why do you want me to come to your house? I don't know. The Lord put you on my heart. Why don't you just come for a cup of coffee? Or how about we go to your house if you're nervous? We'll go to your house for a cup of coffee. Do you have any idea where I live? I don't care where you live. Does that matter? Because if God puts them on our heart, will we just obey him and step out in the power of his word? See, his word says that he's going to go before us. Amen? Right, so if God's already there in that house preparing things, what do you have to worry about? And what do we have to do? Just share his word. Right, when we go in, oh God, I know what I'm going to say. Don't worry, I'm going to give you words to say. I'm going to bring back to remembrance those words that you've been reading about and studying all year and all the ones that you have done before then. And the Holy Spirit is going to bring them back and you're going to have wisdom in the midst of that as an act of obedience. But it's once again going back to that thought process that they said, oh, unbelieving generation. And so something is going to dominate our thoughts this year. Some thoughts are going to dominate your thoughts. I'm a failure or I'm victorious. My marriage stinks and it's almost over, or my marriage is amazing. My children are driving me insane. My children are a blessing from God. I have to look over here when I say that, just so I don't want nobody getting offended. And I know they won't. All my needs are met. Oh, I'm so poor. This is terrible. I'm just terrible at it. I don't care. I'm never going to have anything. You're right. You're right. Because you see, either we're going to agree with God's word or we're going to agree with your lie. I don't know about you, but one of those two is going to dominate us all year. Right? When we come into the presence of God, when you come in here on a Sunday morning, what are the thoughts that race through your mind? Are they, it's just me and my God's time. Oh, this is the favorable year of the Lord. He has made me to overcome. I'm victorious through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I truly am free indeed. Are they the thoughts that fill our minds, our will, and our emotions? Or are there other thoughts that dominate us? Which seed are we feeding on? Because we're feeding on one type of seed more than the other. And this year, I'm believing that it's going to be the seed from the word of God. Amen? That whenever you awake in the morning, you remind yourself who you are, you remind your spouse or your children or whoever you're living with. If you're by yourself, you look in that mirror and spend 20 minutes reminding yourself what the word of God says over your life, because you truly are free indeed. And God's desire is not that you try to earn anything else. You can't earn it. You can't do it. You receive it. And then you share it. And this is what God wants for each one of us this year. If it's going to be a year of faith, if it's going to be a year where we win and we don't just walk through, and then it's going to have to be a year where we start to agree, wait a minute, whatever he said, I'm going to grab a hold of, I'm going to stand on, and I'm not going to move. It's not going to be me trying to earn anything. I'm going to just agree with what his word says about me and every area of my life. That's all I'm going to chew on. And every time another thought comes in, we're going to use the power of his name. Get out in the name of Jesus. We were in prayer on, I think it was Wednesday morning, and we were praying, and God brought something up from when I was, I don't know, 19, 20 years old, and he just convicted me of it. I was like, and so long ago, I know I'm forgiven. I was just like, Lord, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. And immediately, I fell off this bank into this river. And I was underwater, my eyes were open, completely sustained underwater where there was no other sounds. And it was an incredible moment. And he didn't speak anything, but it was almost like one act of obedience. And then I was completely submerged in him. One act of obedience, even though it was long ago and I know I'm forgiven, but it was something that was in there. And I'm like, oh, that was terrible. Lord, forgive me. And immediately, I just fell headfirst into a river of water, which, you know, in my mind, it was a river of life. But I'm underwater and I'm looking all around, completely sustained, not coming up, but staying complete in him. Just because of one small act of obedience. And I just want to ask you this morning, is there anything that sidetracked you last year? Is there anything that consumed your conversation last year rather than his word? Is there anything that's stopping you, that's hindering you, that we can just say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for being distracted. Forgive me, because I want this year to be a year of faith. I'm trying to skip through. I got just a couple more minutes, guys. All that worship stuff goes so long. I desire to contemplate the things that are going on in the temple of God. I desire to listen to the word of God. I desire to listen to the Spirit of God leading and guiding. Hebrews 11:6 says, he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. Look at it. It's a favorable year of the Lord. He's a rewarder. And he's going to reward us. He's going to. Not if you do it all right. He's going to reward us. Amen? That's what the scripture says. James 1:6 says, let him who asks in faith not waver. Not waver. When you ask, it's not based on what you've done. We've got to stop asking only at the times when we've read enough, prayed enough, or we haven't done whatever wrong. We've got to stop that, because that eliminates a lot of times of us asking the Lord. So many times it's based on what we've done rather than what he's done. You've received your salvation. You received power from on high. The Holy Spirit was a gift, right? He said, anyone who asks receives. And therefore, when we ask God, Father, fill me with your Holy Ghost, he does it immediately. It's a gift that empowers you beyond your understanding. It's a gift. You simply receive it. It's the same thing that he wants to do all year. He wants you to receive. Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. There is nothing you're going to get from the television, unless you're watching teachings and preachings and that kind of stuff, that is going to build your faith. Nothing. It's going to destroy your faith. Everything that you watch peels away and chips away at what God's trying to build. That's what it does. The movies that are based on the things of God, you know, true stories, that's a different ballgame. But I'm just saying, most of the stuff that we put before our eyes, we're all guilty, amen? It's not about putting one above another. But all that does is chip away at what God wants to do in your life. All it does is chip away and try to reduce it and destroy what God is trying to build. That's what it does. And I want to encourage you this year, nothing, nothing more than the Word of God. Nothing more than the thoughts of God consuming you. When you get out, I can't believe she did that again. What a gift she is to my life. Oh, if those kids, I'm so thankful for them beautiful kids. Reminding ourselves of the gift that they are and the job that we have in training and equipping. Reminding ourselves that building and in strengthening and encouraging transforms people a whole lot more than destroying and tearing down. And this is what God's word does. It builds us up. Psalms 19:14, the last one, said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Every word, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of your heart. How quickly? Some, I'll look down. I don't want to look at the camera. I can't look at the camera because some are watching from home. How many meditations of your heart since you've been in here this morning were wrong? Just a thought that popped in that you chewed on. Right? We're here in the presence of God, the Word of God. We're enjoying the presence of God. And then sometimes our thoughts are, what time is it? How long before we get out of here? I can't wait to get out of here because I got to do this, 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 and this, and this, and this. These are the meditations of our heart that God wants to deal with. You see, because busyness will distract you from what he's called you to do. And right now, while we're praying and fasting, it's a time to draw back from the busyness. Stop touching the phone 80 times a day. We don't do that, but by golly, if you can't find it, watch people. People go crazy. Do everything they can to try to find their phone. Heaven forbid I lost my phone. You'll survive. You'll make it. But the meditations of our heart, he wants to change, because the meditations of our hearts will produce what we proclaim. And I believe that we need to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord over your life and every life around you. I don't care what they look like or what they sound like. Your job is to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. You're anointed for this purpose. You weren't anointed to condemn everybody. Just look at your neighbor and say, I'm tired of your condemnation. Come on, you know you had a thought about it or a look or a word that didn't build and edify. Okay, look the other way if you don't want to look at your spouse. I ain't saying that to him. That'll be a fight. Oh, my goodness. Wait till we get home at dinner. There is no dinner. It's a bottle of water. Don't worry about it. But it's the meditations of a heart that control what comes out of our mouths. And what we put before our eyes is going to determine the meditations of our hearts. And so this morning, I want you to know that the acceptable year of the Lord is the version that's always in my head. But the NASB says the favorable year of the Lord. What's acceptable unto him and him alone is what he wants us to walk in. Not what's acceptable to the world. How many Christians have been walking close to that edge? World and Christ. World and Christ. Trying to enjoy that. Trying to get as close as they can and are spending their lives enjoying and chasing after all the things of this world and staying really there close and thinking that a little bit more will consume or a little bit more will fulfill. Nothing the world has will fulfill us. Nothing. Between all of us in this room, we probably tried pretty much everything that the world has. And we agree? Good, bad, and disgusting. We've tried it all. And it didn't satisfy, and we wanted more. But this morning, I believe that when the meditation is right, then the words are right. And then as we step out in faith, agreeing with what he said over our lives, where I don't have to earn it, I don't have to try to produce it, I just have to speak it. And when I speak it, the very power of God that created the world goes into effect. And everything around me starts to change. So I'm not going to stop speaking the word, no matter what I've done right, wrong, or indifferent. But when my meditation is right, the rest of my life starts to change. Amen? Let's stand up this morning. Listen, if there's a... Thanks, Ash. It's beautiful. When we talk about faith, right, to anoint, we've been anointed, right, to heal the sick, right? If there's anybody sick or anybody needs prayer, we want to pray for you this morning because it has nothing to do with me. There's no pressure on me. That's good news to me. Amen. Come on up here, young lady. Is there anybody else? See, because when we pray, we agree with what the word says. The Bible says if there's any sick among you, bring it before the elders of the church. Lay hands on them, right? And they shall recover. It says they'll anoint their heads with oil, but we know that we already have the Holy Ghost, right? And he's a type and a shadow of that oil that runs down. And so now the fullness of Jesus Christ lives on the inside of us, so it's not me that has to do anything. I don't have to perform nothing. Can I tell you how liberating that is? That I can just come in and I can just speak over this young lady's life and we're going to watch the power of God go into manifestation. It's that simple. Does he hear and answer our prayer?
Yes.
Is he a healer?
Yes.
Did he say if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover?
Yes.
Right. So the issue is, do we believe it?
Yes.
That's it. Isn't that good news? Is there anybody else needs prayer this morning? Yeah, we'll pray for Tiffany over the thing. Come on up. Is anybody else?
Liz.
What's that? Oh, Liz. No problem. Anybody else? Because again, I'm not in a rush. I'll stand up here till tomorrow. I'm not trying to get anybody to come. I don't mean that. But I'm not nervous. When I first started out, I was petrified. Got to be honest. First time I gave an altar call, I remember the thoughts that went through my head. Oh, God, what if nothing happens? My greatest fear. What if nothing happens when I lay my hands on them and then I look like I couldn't heal people? And then I realized, you're right, you can't heal people. Oh, yeah, that's not me. And when you lay your hands and you speak your word, his word over them, that's when things start to take place. Oh, okay. No wonder why Jesus just said, oh, just pick up your mat and go home. That's all he did. Because there was no doubt. He said he wasn't part of that unbelieving generation. Wait a minute. There must be something really bad wrong with you. I don't know. I don't know if God can heal you. I know he can. We're not going to get distracted by our eyes. By how many people are around you that don't believe. Because when we go out there, we're going to lay hands on people. Amen. That's what we're going to proclaim Jesus Christ to the lost. But how many times do people go, I don't know what to say. I've never done this before. I've never led anybody to Christ. What does that mean? And this is the church speaking sometimes. But this is going to be a favorable year of the Lord in faith.
Yes.
Favorable in faith. Where each one of us stop looking at us. Stop trying to perform some duty or try to become somebody. Just tell your neighbor, say, you're a good-looking somebody. Yeah. You are. You don't have to try. You don't have to try. He said, just let the meditations of your heart get right. And when that changes, everything around you changes.
Amen?
Amen? Praise God. Well, while she's playing... While I'm praying and she's playing, if anybody else wants to, you're more than welcome to come up. But we're going to pray and release you guys. You know why? Because the only thing we need is his word over their lives. Right? That's where our faith has to get to. My faith is there this morning because I've been chewing on this and standing on it. That it's just him. And what a... He's in love with these three ladies. Absolutely adores all his little girls. And it's his desire to bring healing. Amen? So I'm going to pray and release these guys, and I'm going to pray for you girls. All right? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And we agree this morning that it's the favorable year of the Lord. And our year is going to be a favorable year in faith. Father, let everything we do today be an act of faith. That when we walk out of here, whoever we see, by faith, we proclaim Jesus Christ. If we see somebody hurting, by faith, we lay our hands on them and pray. Maybe we never have before in our lives, but today, that's that new day where the meditation of my heart is my God's word can do what he sent it to do. My God's word is mighty. It's powerful. It'll tear down. It'll build up. It'll strengthen. It'll heal. It'll deliver. It'll do all that he promised. Just his word. Father, I pray that the only seeds that we would pour into our hearts this year would be the seeds of faith, the words of faith, the words from another world, the words that would bring transformation, the words that would overwhelm, the words that would bring life to those who hear them. And no matter where we walk, when we speak, our words, let them bring life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.